decoration, you know, or if you're in a landscape.
Thank you, Joanna. Well, good morning, everyone. We are here just a few minutes after schedule, I guess 15 to be exact, for the Economic Development Committee meeting for October, although it's September 30th, and just want to welcome everyone. Sorry that we missed last month. Some of the items on today's agenda were actually intended for last month, and we had to push them forward, but we are certainly thankful that Dorian wasn't worse than it was. I'd like to give one more shout-out to our unbelievable Public Service Department. I mean, for them to finish really in record time the cleanup of an amazing amount of debris. They use the contractors terrifically as well as their own efforts. So anyway, we would like to start today with item number one, which is the approval of minutes from the August 5th, 2019 meeting.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Second item is public comments, and since we have a number of items today on here, I would imagine we do have some public comments. Anybody? Okay. GM Whitley, Councilman Whitley. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm GM Whitley, 809 Post Oak Drive, and I'm speaking on the agenda item regarding FOIA compliance and the Mayor's Business and Economic Development Panel. As the emails between various council members went back and forth over the past few days, Councilman Bustos expressed concern that we were getting close to maybe conducting a meeting via email. So in the interest of transparency, I want to speak to my emails in this thread. My first email suggested that this item being a legal issue be placed on PJ&L committee, but the mayor preferred that it be on the Economic Development Committee, saying it was in their lane, more that's the subject matter of the panel. In my second email, I stated that even though the mayor's panel was convened without a vote from council, I do believe the mayor was within his purview to create the panel as it's been done in the past, for example, with the Shem Creek Task Force. I also stated that I believe the mayor created this panel with the best intentions for the betterment of our town. I also expressed a hope that in the future, all members of council are afforded an opportunity to observe these meetings, especially since the mayor stated in his recent editorial in the Post and Courier that he's tasked this panel with drafting a strategic economic development plan for our town, which could have a great impact on upcoming decisions regarding our town's financial future. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I was informed that there have been four meetings of the panel so far and that members of the ED committee were invited and that perhaps some of you were in attendance, but I don't know. And my third and final email expressed concern about the lack of an executive session on this issue on the agenda, as it is a legal question. And in the absence of an ability to receive legal advice in executive session, I asked our town attorneys to prepare a memo on the issue along with a suggested course of action should any be necessary. So that is my participation in the email thread regarding this issue. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Councilman Kinane?
I raised this issue with council in the last week or so. Same issue my colleague, Ms. Whitley, was speaking about. I read in the paper about this panel and what a glorious job they were going to do at creating a plan. And, you know, I found out who was on the panel. I said, wow, it's an impressive bunch. And then I said, can I just get the minutes of what was discussed? No, sir, there's no minutes. Okay. When were the meetings? We had a list of the meetings. We had an agenda or an outline. It looked more like an outline of items that they might discuss. Then it turns out there was four meetings. The editorial made it sound like this was something that's going on constantly. So that's what raised my suspicion. Then when I found out the meetings really happened months and months ago, the last one was in May, started to wonder, is this more of a public relations thing or is it an economic development thing? So that's really what raised the suspicion. Did a little bit of legal research, and I'm not the town's attorney, but I am an attorney. And there's a very directly on-point case, Quality Towing versus the City of Myrtle Beach, and it's crystal clear that anybody created anybody that is created to provide input to a public official or a public body is subjected to the FOIA laws. Oh, boy, did that set off a firestorm. And I hope anybody interested goes out and gets the emails and see how nasty the responses were just for bringing up a case law that's direct, and it's from the state Supreme Court. It's crystal clear. A body like that is supposed to be subject to FOIA, just as our Shem Creek Task Force has been. Bodies created to give input back to a public body are subject to the FOIA laws, period. There was all sorts of distractions thrown out there, deflections, to try and blame me personally for starting trouble. The fact of the matter is the panel's subjected to FOIA. We can dance around it all we want, or we could own up to it and say, hey, the mayor's panel on economic and business development needs to be reworked in order to comply with the law. It's simple. That's the path of easiest resistance. But when I get attacked for bringing up something like this, well, now it's out in the public. Shouldn't have been just addressed and handled. And, yes, the public's entitled to know what goes on. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments? Hearing none, we will move on. All right. The next item is a discussion of the Harbor Accelerator. And will those that came in to speak on this subject please come up? Thank you. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Economic Development Committee. Thank you for having us today. I wanted to...
Had to state your name and address.
Yes, I'm sorry, of course. I am Patrick Bryant. I am at 665 Johnny Dodds Boulevard in Mount Pleasant. And what I wanted to do was paint a picture for the Economic Development Committee of the Harbor Entrepreneur Center and its work. There's an updated flyer that you've been provided. Would you mind providing one to Christine and Eric as well? The Harbor Entrepreneur Center is a 501c3 nonprofit created in the town of Mount Pleasant 6 years ago when the town had an incubator space that was not producing the results the town wanted. Ultimately, we ended up creating a nonprofit that services the entire entrepreneurial spectrum in all of the Charleston region. And what I wanted to make sure that the committee knew was that the effect of the Harbor Entrepreneur Center is vast and important and critically important to the town of Mount Pleasant. It blows away any amount of results that were ever produced by any incubator in the town of Mount Pleasant ever. The Harbor Accelerator, which is one component of the Harbor Entrepreneur Center, has helped launch 87 businesses into the Charleston market. 87. And each of those businesses has one to two leaders behind them who have been trained on entrepreneurship through the accelerator program. It's free. It gives them free space, free curriculum, free mentorship, lots of resources to connect with investors. The accelerator is an amazing product that is helping Charleston's community. In addition, we have a forum program that takes entrepreneurs that already have a business with three or more employees, $250,000 in revenue, and connects them with other forum members. So that group, as listed in the sheet that you have, is comprised of a lot of people that live and work in Mount Pleasant. So we are helping those existing business owners grow your entrepreneurial economy, whether or not there's a site inside of Mount Pleasant or not. And then finally, I just want to echo a new program that I'm sure you're not familiar with because we just integrated it this year, which is the JRS Coding School. So JRS Coding School takes anyone, the average age being 25, and trains them to code computer skills that our tech companies need. Of the first cohort that we just graduated, there were 8 students, 5 of which were hired within 1 week of the end of their expo, making more than $50,000 a year. So these are ex-military, was a firefighter, a weatherman has gone through the program. A lot of people are being retrained in computer skills, and then put into our tech economy, which is one of our number one problems as entrepreneurs. So I just wanted to paint a picture of what the harbor is doing for the entire region and the impact that it's making. And then finally, I want to go to the network effect of the harbor, which is far beyond an incubator space. It's far beyond our forums and our programs. I want to tell you a story about Rich Estes, who created a business called Home Tracker, and he put it in the first round of the accelerator, not the first round, I'm sorry. I think it was actually the third round of the accelerator. We've now had, we're on 11. He put it through the third round while working on his business, Home Tracker. Because of the harbor, one of the people that he met was Jimmy. And Jimmy and Rich went on to work on Home Tracker for a little longer. Well, then they closed Home Tracker because, believe it or not, that's what we do as entrepreneurs. We don't always stick with the same idea. But Jimmy and Rick together went on to found Punch List. Punch List is now in the town of Mount Pleasant with over 20 employees. So you don't have Punch List operating in the town of Mount Pleasant unless you have Home Tracker going through the accelerator, meeting Jimmy, getting support, understanding how to grow a business, and then taking those skills and growing the next business. That's entrepreneurial network effect, and that's what we do. So with that, I want to end with our ask to this committee, which is we would like you to make a five-year commitment to having a Harbor Entrepreneur Center site in the town of Mount Pleasant. We started here in one of your sites, and we would like to have a site here again. Our ask is a five-year commitment of $50,000 per year. That will allow us to go rent a facility, operate all of our programs out of that facility, and be located here in the town providing incubator space to businesses. Your number one problem in entrepreneurship is that if you are in a position that you're starting a business and you want to do it in the corridor of Mount Pleasant, right off the bat, you need to be renting 1,000 square feet, and right off the bat, you need to have a five-year lease. We can't do that. That's not how startups start up. So instead, we're going to go start that startup in the Neck, or we're going to do it in West Ashley, or we're going to do it further in North Charleston where those opportunities exist. And that then loses the town of Mount Pleasant's ability to recruit, grow, and make entrepreneurship happen in our corridor. So with that space, we will be able to offer those programs in addition to renting that space and filling that need. So that's our ask. I'm happy to take any questions if you have any.
How much space do you need?
Generally speaking, the right number is somewhere between 5 and 10. Oh, we do have a space now on 65 Gadsden Street downtown near MUSC that's 10,000 square feet. And that space is operating. We just held the grand opening last week with huge fanfare, and it's operating really well. So from a scale perspective, you need about 6 so that you can have 2 to do programmatic activity and 4 to have rentable office spaces to all the entrepreneurs. So 6 is really the minimum.
What's your timeline?
Well, our goal would be sometime in 2020 to launch the center in Mount Pleasant. We came before finance earlier in the year when we were in a gap moment that we needed a new space. And today our goal with the town is to start the process over, get into the budget process, and get a longer-term commitment. Because that's ultimately what's needed, right? Because we have to go secure that space for a term longer than 1 year. If we do 1 year, we're going to be in the same spot any startup would be.
What will this money be used for?
Generally, the operation and maintenance of that particular facility. So it would be used directly to provide incubator space to startups and have programmatic space that the harbor can do its activities.
Okay. Do you have a budget of how much this is going to cost overall?
Oh, absolutely. If you're at 6,000 square feet, in the urban corridor. Obviously, we haven't done a site selection because we would need to have some commitment in order to pick that out. And the further you get into 2020, those numbers could change. But generally speaking, it's going to cost
I'm driving at is how'd you come up with $50,000 a year?
Oh, to support the base rent of the facility. So we'll take care of the utilities, but $50,000 is the number we know that would be needed to rent that space in the urban corridor. We're not talking about Class A office space. We're talking about a normal 5,000 to 7,000 square feet of space in the urban core.
So none of this money would be used for salaries.
That's correct. Our intent from the town of Mount Pleasant is that we would use the space to fund rent of a space. And matter of fact, we were started in the space that the town graciously provided, so that's why we stayed with that model.
Okay. At what point in the budget process, we have our budget now. We don't have, $50,000 laying around, I don't suppose. At what point would this be taken into the budget process?
Well, sir, for most items, we try to make it as part of the budget process, which starts in February, and then March, April, into the new year. But we all know that there's been several adjustments to the budget post July 1 that have occurred. So really, the answer is, if council would like to do it, it should go to finance. Money should be identified along with the other priorities. And if the decision is to move forward at the council level, then we'll make the adjustments.
Well, I mean, I'd rather see it enter the budget process at the time of the budget process. The last time y'all came in with this, and I think I made the comment, it's like you just walk in and say, give us a commitment for $250,000. And I think that needs to be part of the budget process, not just to walk in and do it.
Well, I appreciate that, and your feedback is why we started back at Economic Development here today. And I would go as far as to say we have a site in downtown Charleston, and we are in the works of a site in North Charleston, and we'd like to have one in Mount Pleasant. And if that's 2025, the best time to plant an oak tree is today, so let's move forward.
So what you're looking for is it to go to finance committee?
That's correct.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
So I have several things. First of all, thank you so much for presenting this. Especially showing us the impact that the Harbor Accelerator has already been making, and most pointedly here in Mount Pleasant, since that obviously helps it to be a little easier for our taxpayers. I also want to say that we as a town, and especially economic development, I think at this point recognizes that one of our most important jobs right now is to bring jobs to this side of the bridge. And preferably, if we can, bring jobs that are higher paying, that help people afford to live on this side of the bridge, that help shorten car trips so that people don't have to go downtown in North Charleston for all the more high-tech jobs. So it is a focus area. And having said that, we are right in the middle of working on a project that will encompass high-tech. It's going to be the whole purpose of it. And so I think what I'd like to suggest is what we already kind of know, which is this would go to finance next month, if that's what you folks would like to see. And then by that point, we may actually have a little more information on where we're going with our technology campus project, because it could be something that fits very well with that. And it could even be that it doesn't have to be a cost that's borne entirely by taxpayers, that there might be a way to do it through corporations that are involved that want to see this. Because the number one thing I hear when I talk to people, whether it's in the tech industry, the film industry, television, other things, is we need the people that know how to do the things that it takes to do this. So, for instance, your coding school. Let me ask a question on that. And, again, this is to help everybody see the impact. You mentioned firefighters, you mentioned two people with different backgrounds. So this is something where you don't have to have a college degree?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Generally speaking, the program lasts about 12 weeks, mm-hmm. and most people come in knowing a baseline of JavaScript, which is, by baseline, I mean the sort of thing you could learn in under 20 hours by yourself on YouTube or a website. not anything specific, but a basic understanding. And then they go through the course, which is 9 to 5 for 12 weeks. And at the end of that course, they are absolutely ready for a $50,000 a year job writing code for one of our tech companies.
Okay, so as an example here in Mount Pleasant, a student coming out of Wando, or eventually Lucy Beckham, but let's talk about Wando since it's there, maybe even under the Advanced Studies program, could be prepared to go right into your program.
100%, and that example has happened. I mean, so I think that any students included, but I also want to make sure it's acknowledged that it's mostly an adult program, but students absolutely can go directly through the program, come out the other side, and be prepared for that workforce. Additionally, I'll just add the nugget. By workforce, I mean the negative unemployment environment of computer coders in Charleston. I run a software firm, and hiring people is our number one struggle. The contracts are faster than the employees are available.
Patrick, if $50,000 per year is a bit of a heavy lift for this group, do you have other sources that you might go to be able to make up the difference if there were some monies that could be provided?
Corporations, absolutely. We could certainly leverage local corporations. If to locate a center in the town of Mount Pleasant, there, we would obviously need some level of commitment, though, from the town of Mount Pleasant. Otherwise, I think, unless they were specifically Mount Pleasant-backed corporations, like SunTrust, for instance, is a very large sponsor of ours, they're happy to sponsor in other sides of town as well.
When you came before us 6 years ago, was there seed money then as well?
There was, yes, sir.
You recall?
Provided by the town? We've provided $255,000 over the last 5 years.
$255,000 over the last 5?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eric. So a similar amount to what? But I would say in the last 2 years, it's been entirely defunded. So there's been no funding in the last 2 years.
Last thing is the mentors. You mentioned a number of these folks are folks that are highly interested in seeing Mount Pleasant continue to bring great high-paying jobs to this side of the bridge. So I think we've had a great conversation here today, and I think we've given you some exposure that's going to help all of us go back to the drawing board, but definitely recommend that you talk to finance next month, whatever the timing might be, but some of us can do some legwork in between, too. So thank you so much. Daniel, did you want to add anything? Or?
Oh, well, I'll just make sure that I introduce for everyone's edification. This is Daniel Stern. He's the executive director of the Harbor. Our former executive director, John Osborne, is doing very well. Also, network effect to the Harbor. He created the only VC fund in town, which is Good Growth Capital, that came directly from relationships gathered in the Harbor and some of their investments are companies that came out of the Harbor. So John's doing very well, just not able to attend today. Daniel's been on the job for about 6 months and is doing an excellent job of shepherding the nonprofit forward.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Our next item is item number 4, and this is discussion of and possible action with regard to the Mayor's Economic Development Advisory Panel and its compliance with the Freedom of Information Act. This item, as was already alluded to by a couple of council members, was asked to be put on the agenda through an email process, and I'm just going to stop here and say, is there anybody from staff that was going to address anything on this?
No, ma'am.
No? Okay. Then what I'll do is I'll share a little bit of what I know in regard to this, and then we may bring up a couple folks that are relevant to this. So I'm going to start by saying that sometime after I was appointed by the mayor to be the economic development chair for this committee, a concept came along that Mayor Haney had thought about, worked on, and did some research on, and to my understanding was able to find that it would be possible to have a panel that was made up primarily of individual private citizens. And the purpose at that time, and still is to my knowledge, to allow people of all different levels of work backgrounds, such as representatives from major corporations in the area, whether it's Boeing or Maersk or others, I'm sorry, MSC, or whether it would be small shops in town. And the idea was that when you are trying to bring great jobs and great businesses to a community, the people that have the most insight into how to do that are the people that did it themselves. And oftentimes those people, as I learned when I started working, when I first became part of the, after being elected, when I first became part of the committee as a member, was that one of the number one reasons that they choose a particular town is because they love living there. And this goes all the way to the highest. I mean, even a Jeff Bezos is at Amazon. It's been said that that was one of the factors as to things. So I bring that up because the main purpose of this group, my understanding, was to allow for a very free flow of discussion and dialogue among people who are business owners in Mount Pleasant or business executives related to the town of Mount Pleasant. So as it turns out, when I asked Mayor Haney about the committee and what his intentions were in terms of a broader purpose, you know, was it going to be for feedback, what was going to be the idea, and also was it just going to replicate what we were doing with this committee already, which is obviously subject to FOIA, he said, no, actually this is going to be a separate entity where we would like to just have corporate folks and individual business owners and then limit the number of people from council so that it would be able to be private conversations. So it wasn't, there was never any sense of anything nefarious or, you know, sneaking around or anything like that. It was totally to allow free flow brainstorming. And he did invite me to join this group so that there would be somebody who was working directly with economic development. And I will say we have had four meetings. They were each called whenever there was information that perhaps could be discussed. And it's all been completely theoretical. At this point, I can tell you because I've attended all four meetings, everything that's been discussed has been theoretical. Now, what we did in these meetings was to listen, bring up certain concepts like what if we wanted to, what would be areas that would be really helpful in Mount Pleasant? What would be some of the areas? And I know you've heard this on from the Chamber of Commerce end all the way down to various groups talking about what industries, for instance, would fit well in a town our size and with our resources. But everything has been theoretical. I'm not aware, and I know I've been there, so therefore it hasn't happened. There's not been anything that was recommended to council, nor was there ever an intention to make a recommendation to council. Now, I could be wrong about that part. I don't know whether the mayor had the intention that there would be recommendations, but he's never stated that, nor was it in any of our meetings' agendas. The other thing I just want to share, and then I'll stop talking about this, and I would like to see if anyone else related to this would like to speak, and that is that in addition to the fact that there wasn't anything specific discussed, was the fact that we actually, well, I'm actually trying to remember what I was about to say. Sorry about that, because this was a little bit of a surprise. Bottom line is we had folks from all different areas. Councilman Kinane's correct, a very strong list of folks. This was to respect their ability to speak freely and have brainstorming session. If we were to make this committee, from what I have read in both Mr. Pagliarini's comments and other things, if it were, if this were to be made into a committee format, perhaps a subset of this committee, or even the way it is now as a committee, and be FOIA-able, then it kind of takes away the spirit of these corporate and business-owning individuals being able to speak freely. So it would almost be like a duplication of what we can already do here. So I'm not saying, I'm not making recommendations, I'm just letting you know my understanding of the purpose. So with that, I think I'll stop and perhaps ask Mayor Haney if there's anything you think you need to add.
Certainly. Thank you. The first mention that I made to council of this was in my State of the Town address in June of 2018. all present council members were part of council then. Our legal counsel was there. So had we been advised at any point that there were things this panel had to do to comply with FOIA, of course we would do that. I think it would work if we do it, but I want to point out, too, what you just discussed. The same statute that Councilman Kinane mentioned earlier applies to any groups that receive any funding in part or in total from a government body. So if we give $50,000 to the Harbor Entrepreneur Center, their meetings, under a strict interpretation of the law, would be public as well. So before we do all of these things, maybe we need to get a comprehensive look at FOIA and its applications. I know I've been part of meetings recently with Councilman Owens and with the attorneys present that were called an ad hoc committee at which advice was given to the town. Nobody raised an issue that it was not in compliance with FOIA. So I'd be glad to do it any way we need to do it, but we cannot besmirch the names of the business leaders and the largest employers of the town of South Carolina, of the town of Mount Pleasant. In an effort to play gotcha games on council, this needs to stop. We will do this the best way we need to do to go forward, because the point is to get economic development in the town of Mount Pleasant. And I also assure you those people, as valuable as their time is, are not partaking in any publicity stunt or public relations stunt. And it came out of the group that what we need is a comprehensive economic development strategy. And that's what we'll work towards. Do you have any questions?
No, thank you. But I did want to say I remembered what it was, which was we did report at each Economic Development Committee meeting on what was discussed at these meetings. And again, if anybody went back and read the minutes on this, it was all very, very general, no specific advice given, just working on trying to brainstorm and come up with great concepts. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kinane, Councilman Kinane.
With regards to nonprofit entities, it is not exactly the same as a body created by the town to give advice back to the public body. Those type of cases are handled by a case out of Beaufort County involving the Bluffton Hilton Head Chamber of Commerce, where funds flowed from a state bank of money through the county to the chamber. And a recent case, I think it was last summer, they said because there's three levels of control over that money, they are not subject to FOIA. There may be cases where they are, but it's not the same case. It's not the same issue. And that's just a smokescreen about the issue. The bottom line is Quality Towing versus City of Myrtle Beach clearly states if the body is coming back, bringing information back to the public body, then they are subject to FOIA because they become part of the public body under the law. Thank you.
Mr. Bustos, Councilman.
Yeah, I'm getting a little confused here because we have a council member who is an attorney who is taking the place of the staff attorneys. Now, are we supposed to take legal advice from Mr. Kinane, or do we have attorneys that the town pays that are supposed to be giving legal advice? You know, for a council member to stand up here and be giving legal advice, to me seems, you know, all this is very confusing. And we have a couple of our town attorneys sitting here right now, and, you know, we're getting, you know, this is just wrong for a council member to be practicing law in front of council.
I'd like to add another thing, and that is I'm a little confused. I'm not aware that the mayor's economic advisory panel receives funds. I know they get a turkey sandwich when they show up. So what does that have to do with, for instance, the comparison? Okay. None. Okay.
You're correct.
Okay. Mr. Crosby, you do serve on
no,
that?
No, I mean, I anticipated that this group would go on for, you know, 2 years or so, and it was purely strategic brainstorming. I didn't foresee any action coming from this group for an extended period of time. So I think it's ongoing. It's exceedingly informal, but it has been beneficial.
Where I'm concerned is that it does feel a little bit in this situation like we're looking for a problem that doesn't really exist. But if people believe, for instance, if I didn't sit on that committee, there would only be one council member, which would be our mayor. If the mayor didn't sit on the committee, then there would be no council members. So then could a private group of owners and business people from various companies come together on town property without being subject to FOIA? Who am I asking this of? Mr.
Yes.
Taglarini? Oh, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is the reason that there's a potential perceived problem because there are two council members on this committee?
I'm speaking in general terms. The issue, should there be one, is solely related to the purpose and intent of a gathering. Okay? Right. Council member, for example, probably all of you have spoken in front of the Citadel Rubber Chicken Dinner Club, mm-hmm. for great citizens. Your feedback all the time. The issue is whether the purpose and intent of that group is to provide feedback and response, recommendations, and the like. That's where the line is drawn. And so that's the difference. Now, to further answer your question, all of that would change if there is a quorum of a council or committee, which, as you know, then starts the discussion of whether there's actually a public meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Paglarini. So, again, I'm confused here as to why we have a problem, because I know for a fact, and Mr. Crosby sits on it, and neither one of us have, I don't know if it's right to say anything to gain or whatever, I don't know. We don't have any agenda associated with sitting on that committee. We were just asked to sit on it. I'm just trying to figure out what is it that, because I'm not aware that there was any specific recommendation ever going to come from this. My understanding completely was this was a brainstorming session.
I think it was just an exchange of ideas.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, sir.
The agenda says a discussion. I think a discussion has been had. And I would recommend that we move on to the next item. Don't see a problem.
Well, seeing that there is no action to be taken at this time, we will move on to item number 5.
Thank you.
Consideration of an economic development incentive grant. This will need to be handled in an executive session. Discussion of a contractual matter related to an economic development grant. So we do need to vote in order to go into it. May I have a motion?
I'll move that we go into executive session for the stated purpose.
Second.
All right. All those in favor for executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. We are now in executive session.
Okay. We'll go to the break room. Break room. The little room.
Okay. We have returned from executive session. And so the committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting. So is there any action to be taken today?
I'd like to make a motion that we recommend the full council that we approve the economic incentive that was discussed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.